Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the ride.
Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City.
Yes, Sports City Chefs, we are in the building. What's up, Blog Talk family? Everybody out there across all streaming networks, this is the Sports City Chefs. This is the Caller's Cookout, the villain versus timeless, where good always wins. Here with you on another Wednesday, the end of May, the end of the month, less than 100 days to football starts, NFL. We got the finals cooking. We got a lot of going things going on. Baseball is what it is. It's heating up. But, you know, we chefing. We always cooking all year round. People got to eat. We got full bellies. We here with you for the next, we'll see, 58 minutes, maybe an hour plus. We'll see how good we cook it up in here. Calling number is always 929-477-2759. The villain here. I don't do this by myself, though. Every good villain needs a hero. Every good hero needs a villain. I got the best hero in the world. The main man himself, TP Timeless. TP Timeless, what's going on?
I done took off my blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped outside. The kitchen Timeless is alive. Four City. Summer is on the rise. We're coming up to the summer. The crazy part about everything that's going on right now, I just received some gorgeous news. That's right. I don't like to get into those race situations. I really don't. But it's a situation that had to come, and karma swirled its way around. I can't wait to pop the can on this one. It's a lot of stuff to jump into. That's for sure. You got the diamond. You got the gridiron. And, of course, you got the hardwood going at all cylinders. And the crazy part about it is, which story is more relevant? The rise of Jimmy Butler, playoff Jimmy, or the reign of the Joker? That I man, it's crazy. I'm telling you, sports is at a premium right now. Let's do it.
Absolutely, man. Listen, it's going to be a lot of fun, hopefully, this year. It's not the big names that people wanted, but I think you got the two stars that we need right now, you know what I mean? So we'll see how it cooks. And then we also got one of our other chefs in the building, Mr. Harvey, calling in. Mr. Harvey, what's going on, brother?
What's up, fellas? I'm excited. Like both of you said, lots of things going on. Interesting that we have a 1 versus 8 seed matchup. Of course, at this time, you can throw all the seeds out. It doesn't matter anymore. But lots of things going on in the world of sports. And as you guys know, even though it's off season, a lot of things, football still in the news as well. So, man, it's always something good to talk about, and it's a pleasure and a privilege to chop it up with you two fellas, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. So without further ado, let's get it on and popping, man. We'll get into the NBA. I definitely want, you know, spend a lot of time on that. We'll definitely be cooking that. But I wanted to talk about the NFL a little bit here. Obviously, the big news coming from over the weekend and into this week was where the Arizona Cardinals releasing DeAndre Hopkins. So we haven't gotten a chance to cook that up on this show. So definitely wanted to give the chefs a little bit of time to digest it and, you know, possible landing spots. You know, Timeless, he was released. They couldn't find the trade partner the Cardinals. They they got deals, but they weren't comfortable with the deals, so they had to release him at a certain point before that contract, you know, was, you know, against the cap, fully guaranteed, all that kind of minutia that a lot of people don't really talk about. So he was released, and now he says, you know, everybody is fair game. You know, he's going to go through all the suitors. There's teams, obviously, that, you know, have the most interest or make the most sense. Let's put it that way, the Chiefs, the Bills. You know, I think maybe the Jets were in that market, the Dolphins. But it looks like the Chiefs, the Bills were probably some of the top teams. Maybe even the Ravens kind of got in the mix there as well. There might be some other teams. There's a lot of teams, obviously, that could use his services that, you know, we all talk about. But Timeless, I mean, are you surprised that he was released instead of traded? And where do you think he fits? What's the best option for him where he plays his football this upcoming season?
First things first, I pop, but let me go here. Okay, so this is the crazy part, okay? You have the Arizona Cardinals that really, to me, I'm going to say this here now, they give up on football probably for like the next 1 to 3 seasons. I want to be fair with the number. The next 1 to 3 seasons, they're not going to be in any vivid fight, at least in the NFC West. Let me just do that. If they get to the playoffs, it'll be by wild card, but I don't think they're knocking people off their feet. They've lost J.J. Watt. They just released DeAndre Hopkins. Kyler Murray is going to be coming back from an injury. We don't know when. They have a debacle on who they want to put in that quarterback right now. There's a brand-new coaching system that they're bringing in there, too. And they're getting rid of their biggest piece. Like I think DeAndre Hopkins is one of their biggest pieces, notably, offensively, for me. At least for me. I'll speak on behalf of myself. I won't speak for nobody else. To me, I think he's the biggest piece for them offensively. And Kyler Murray, we don't know what he is because he continues to get injured. So this is the hard part about the Cardinals. Now, for you to release him and not get anything for it, that's why I'm like, the next year, 2-3 years, I don't feel like they'll be heavily competitive. Of course, they'll go out there and play games, but I think that they'll get rolled on, and they may potentially be the number one pick next year. I know we said that last year about Seattle, and Seattle came out of nowhere and played ball, but I'm going to just say potentially they can be. But to throw out the situation that I'm throwing out right here in comparison to what's in front of them, just like you said, the Chiefs may be an ideal spot. The Bills may be an ideal spot. They are also throwing out the Jets as well to try to feed Aaron Rodgers another name. But why did you say all of those names? And the one that I'm getting the most feedback about, there is a song by Notorious B.I.G. called What's Beef? And the way the song starts, he goes, ha, 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 ha. He may end up in Michigan. Keep playing. Even C.J. Gardner-Johnson is trying to recruit him. Everybody and their mother's getting him, including Brad Holmes, is trying to suit him down into Michigan. It would be incredible if they could add him to that wide receiver core. I am loving what Brad Holmes is trying to put together, and they do have the money to make it happen, especially while Jameson Williams is out. So if they could pull that trigger to get him there, I'm talking crap. I've been humble for far too long. If he could get that to happen, he don't got to go out there and be Superman. He could just play his role. If we need a big receiver that could take the top off of a defense, that would be him, and we can go absolutely crazy. But, of course, just like you said, also Baltimore, especially with the addition of Odell, they need another receiver out there. Lamar's also have been talking about how good the offense has been running, so to get another big name in that offense and his receiver court would help him. But I don't know if Baltimore really respects him to the fact that they're bringing another big receiver there. They made him prove himself to get this money. He had to fight tooth and nail to get the money. So how do they put pieces around him? They're going to have to show that they want him to have those pieces around them. And I don't think Odell is just the piece. So they're going to have to bring somebody else other than Duvernay. And, of course, to me, the top two or three tight end and Mark Andrews. So there's a couple of teams. Well, the whole NFL will be available for DeAndre Hopkins. It ain't like no team can't use him. But there are quite a few teams right now that could definitely put these teams in big-time playoff contention, if not aspirations for a championship game. I don't want to just start throwing Super Bowl around, even though I can. But definitely there's a handful of teams that you could litter into this conversation and say it could happen. But just knowing that Honolulu Blue is a part of this conversation and nobody in here knows about it but me, ha, 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 I love this. So, Brad, pull the trigger. It makes a ton of sense. But, of course, who wants to see this dynasty continue to roll with the Chiefs and add another gun to Mahomes? And the Bills have had every other piece come through that offense as well. We'll see. And also you had DeAndre get mentioned by Deshaun Watson. Deshaun said he wants him back in Cleveland. But I don't think that's a suiting spot for him. Cleveland still, to me, I feel like they have to build, even though these guys have chemistry from Houston. It's going to take a lot for it to get done. But I'm telling you, this is getting pretty spooky, and I'm just sitting on my hands right now. I don't want to see it, but just seeing a number 10 in Honolulu Blue. Yow.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to happen. I think, you know, I'm hearing that they got more investigations coming in with Gamble. I hope that's not true. But, you know, every team is on the table but the Cardinals, right? I could definitely agree with that. So there's 31 teams that are in the market for DeAndre Hopkins. You can make a case for every one. I mean, my Giants are a team that can definitely use him. They don't have the cap space to make it happen. It all depends, right, TP and Mike, if he's looking for a payday that, you know, in his 30s, or he's looking for that chip where he would take less money to join a team and try to chase that ring. I think the Browns are interesting. I think the Ravens are interesting. The Titans, the Patriots can all use him. You know, like I said, Chiefs and Bills, what have you. Mike, what do you think about DeAndre Hopkins getting released and then the potential suitors for him? I mean, every team, in my opinion, is a suitor, but where do you think is the best fit for him?
Well, let me start here. I think they couldn't find a trade partner because I think they were probably asking for a lot for him. And I can understand why. Well, you know, he has missed some time over the last couple of years, suspensions, injuries. Father time catches up. So you wonder, you know, sometimes once guys start getting hurt, you're going to miss chunks of time every year. And so, I would take him on my team for sure. But that being said, you wonder if that drives the price down a little bit. Like you said, what's he looking for price-wise? And to me, the one thing the Cardinals get out of this is some cap relief. They will be much worse than Seattle was last year. and you know, new coach, like you said, with the quarterback coming off, back from injury. Who knows if he's even going to be out there a lot of this year. I think that as close as they can do it, they're kind of trying to position themselves to get one of the top picks in this year's draft, right? Like, and so then this coaching staff can get an evaluation of what they've already invested a lot of money into Kyler Murray. I don't know what the outs are in that or what happens there, but it's you've already hitched your horse to that wagon, so to speak, and I'm not sure that I'm not sure the wheels are going to stay on. But that being said, you get cap relief, and I agree with TP. He's their biggest star on the offensive side of the ball. Hell, he's the biggest star impact player on either side of the ball for that team on a consistent basis, and the most proven guy on that roster. So, you know, if you let him go, you get the cap relief. I mean, this is the whole, you know, what Miami did, tank for Tua kind of thing. Except this is not going to – I'd be shocked if it's for a quarterback. I just don't see any other guy that – or position player right now that really jumps out. I think a lot of teams could – you know, TP's right. The Lions have the money to make it happen. I think Baltimore would be a place that they – really should be looking strong at. I do know that they don't want to. I've heard that he doesn't want to play with OBJ, but you know, I don't know the story behind that. I don't see him going to Cleveland, but there are a bunch of teams that could use him. Juju, tell me where Juju signed again.
I don't know
the
where
Patriots,
he signed.
Right? I think he's in New England.
Okay,
I think
so. You're right. That's exactly where it was. I knew he was in the AFC East. I just couldn't remember where. So he goes to New England. They could still use him, but they won't. But, I mean, listen, a veteran in Kansas City, if I'm DeAndre Hopkins, I would take I would probably take less money to go to Kansas City than I would about any other place in the league, to be honest with you. But that being said, I think he would love to win. I think he'd like to have a championship. But I don't think that he's going to – I don't think that he's going to take a bargain basement deal either, right? So I think there are a few teams that are definitely going to be priced out of this. You know, the Saints and a few other teams that aren't going to have the money to make this happen. But I think Kansas City, Baltimore, Pittsburgh could use him, though I don't know that they'd make the play. And, you know, another team that is not talked about that I think could really use him, I still think Chicago could really use him. But at the same time, that's a team that needs a lot. Give Justin Fields another weapon. I don't think Claypool is that guy. I don't care what anybody says. I don't think Claypool is that guy. That wide receiver room has to be upgraded. They've done a few things to try to make them better. But I think Chicago's a team that could really use him as well. But I wouldn't be surprised to see the Chiefs. I wouldn't be surprised to see Baltimore. And I also wouldn't be surprised to see Detroit. But I still feel like as it really starts coming down to, the wire on where he might go, there's at least going to be one team pop up out of nowhere. It's like, whoa, where'd they come from? In that conversation. But listen, if we have to see. We haven't seen a full season out of him, but I think that we can all agree that if this guy's healthy and right, he's a huge difference maker and a big time, impact player for whatever roster he ends up on. And like you said, TP, he doesn't have to be Superman on a lot of these rosters in Detroit and a lot of other places. He don't have to be Superman. Just go out and play his game. And even if he's not taking the top off the defense the way he once was, he's a big physical guy that can high point the football and it can be a security blanket as well. So he's got a skill set that's going to play in this league and be a huge impact player for wherever he goes.
Yeah, I mean, the best fit in my mind is Kansas City because, they won a chip with Juju Smith-Schuster as their number one receiver. Their number one was Kelce, obviously, but their number one wideout was Juju. So he could go in slot in there, and, that team is so positioned to just keep reloading with the flexible contract Mahomes has. $40 million looks like a bargain, right, compared to what, I think the top quarterbacks get over 50. Lamar got 52. I think Rodgers is around 50. So that's a bargain. So they have draft picks to keep reloading. So I think if he wanted to win a chip and have no questions asked, it would be Kansas City. I would like to see him in Buffalo if it wasn't for the Giants. If it was, obviously I would want him in the Giants. But I know it's not realistic. While the need is there, the fit is there, the money's not there. Right. So while Detroit has the cap space, the Giants don't have that cap space. They only have like $6 million, I think it is, right now. So they can't. Unless it takes less money, they can't afford it. Buffalo would be a good fit. Buffalo needs defense, in my mind. They need more defensive, run stuffers and probably passers. Just on the defensive line, they need more help and probably at safety, too. But, offensively, he would be a good fit out to go on the other side of Diggs, both guys up. So I think that fit is there. But Kansas City is probably – I think he ends up there. If I had to put money on it, that's where I think he ends up. TP, I don't know if you had anything to add before we shift gears, brother.
I mean, I'm actually, scratching my head on, why you're so convinced about him at Kansas City. They have Kelce – and Schuster's gone, but who else? Valdez-Scantling ain't scary Harmon? Nobody.
Right. Harmon?
Harmon's still there? McCole Harmon is not consistent. I've talked about him for years with people that I've talked to on a daily basis. Harmon is not consistent. Right. They've been trying to get rid of Harmon. He's just a speed demon. I get it that they have the pieces of the puzzle with Kelce and Mahomes. These guys are beatable. That offense is legit because of Andy Reid. If he goes there, he helps them. But they do not have this powerhouse offense. Their offensive line is key. They have a bunch of pieces that can make this happen. And dudes that got speed like Pacheco out of nowhere just started blossoming because he had enough speed to take that ball and go. He wasn't no big-time running back, but he was making that offense work. Schuster Smith didn't have a big season last year. So I feel like it's a good move for him to go with Mahomes because Mahomes is a great quarterback and having a – tight end rip the teeth out the middle of a defense in Kelsey, that'd be good. But I'm not looking at this some super juggernaut receiving core. I still don't think that they're that potent offensively. I'm looking at their depth chart right now.
They got Tony and Sky Moore, the rookie from last year, right, TP?
Right. So I'm trying to get to him. Exactly. These guys aren't that scary that you're building them up to be, Barrett. So I'm totally against it. Like, I feel like there's other teams. I feel like if we were to compare Buffalo receiving court to Kansas City's, I'm taking Buffalo's. With Davis compared to what they have over there, other than Kelsey makes it the threat because he's the receiver that has, I mean, he's a tight end with receiver speed. But everything else out there, these are regular names to me in their receiver core.
But to me, that makes the point of why he would be such a good fit with that team because he would be an upgrade. He would be an upgrade for them at the
receiver
position.
But then if we look at it like that, then look at Buffalo, right? Because Gabe Davis, a lot of people don't think that he's filling the shoes, but Gabe Davis is a threat. So if they feel like Gabe Davis ain't making a difference and they put him there and Gabe Davis is seeing a lot of one-on-ones as a 6'4 speedster and having him and Diggs with he got a boulder on his shoulder from the past two seasons on the way things went up there. That could be terror for teams, especially in the AFC East where they're going to keep winning that thing. I don't think right now Rodgers and them supplant them. Where you hearing so much melee about Rodgers in the AFC East, he goes there. What do the Jets look like now? You know, so like I don't know. I beg to differ. It does look good with him and Mahomes and Kelsey. Yeah, that would look crazy, but just picture him with Allen. Every time he keep falling short with Diggs yelling at Allen on the sideline, and Davis got to prove himself, and him seeing a lot of one-on-one, and the small receiver that they will have underneath, even though Beasley's gone, and I think McKenzie left too, but they'll still have somebody to fill that void. There's a lot of teams loaded. I don't just, you know, put this in front of Andy Reid, even though Andy Reid is the monster in front of an offense, though.
I'm curious
I look at Josh Allen, though, Tippy, and I don't know if you agree. I think this year is really big for him. Like, I didn't like what I saw from him last season. I know he had the injury, and in the playoffs, the turnovers. He's not careful with the ball. He's falling back into old habits of making bad decisions. You know, hopefully, maybe, I don't know if DeAndre Hopkins fixes that, but he's got to make better decisions in the pocket. Stop trying to jack it down the field. Take the short dump off like Mahomes has learned to do and make yourself a better quarterback and make your team better. Go ahead, Mike.
So I said last year that from what I saw in the postseason, in the next year or two, I could see Trevor Lawrence being greater than Josh Allen in this league. But I agree with you on the pass rush. The one thing I am curious about, because we all saw how everybody walked off the field at the end of the season, did cooler heads prevail? Do we know if Diggs has been at any of the OTAs or any of those practices in Buffalo? Has he been showing up? Because I know, like, the season ended, he talked about wanting out of there, right? And I understand they didn't make a trade or anything, but did cooler heads prevail? And he's like, okay, cool, I'm coming back. But I know there was a ton of frustration with him, going as the season ended, right?
So he didn't attend any off-season program, and he did not show up to OTAs. Now, the OTAs are voluntary, but he ain't there, and he didn't show up to any of the off-season programs. They restructured his contract in March to free up some money, so he got, like, I think it was converted into a signing bonus. You stretch it so that it doesn't hit the cap all this year. It kind of, you know, spaces out. To my knowledge, that's the only interaction that he's had with the team. You know what I mean? Like, that's all I've heard. TP, I don't know if you heard anything else. That's all I heard.
I've seen him in a couple of different videos, him being with, like, some of the team, but I've seen him more or less working out with his brother, like, at their home and doing work out with him and Trayvon. But I haven't seen too much of him in the Bills organization, but I've seen him, like, walk out there. I think it would have been more of a stir if he wanted to go. And plus, he just got paid. I don't think Diggs is going anywhere. I think that was just more frustration of them losing it down the end of the season and definitely in the playoffs, where they felt like they had it figured out, especially with momentum on their side. I think a lot of what you guys said on Josh Allen is Josh Allen that. I think Josh Allen plays that hero ball and tries to get it done more than trying to throw that short pass. And if he can, he has that arm to heave it, like just like Gus Stafford. They fall in love with seeing that deep ball get caught. And he can make those throws. And I think that's something that he wants to make happen. If he can get another piece there, I mean, it's worthwhile, but it's tough for him to be 6'6", 250, and Limerick and run. And knowing that he could take off and make the easier play and make defenses just suck the teeth and have to go after get him and comparison to what's been happening now. And it's been a revolving door on the others, being the receiver core underneath Diggs and Davis, but more or less under Diggs, though, because you got to think, Dawson Knox hasn't been available like that. Cole Beasley's been in and out of that lineup. McKenzie was in and out of that lineup. Like, these receivers haven't been consistent underneath the notable ones. And I guess when Diggs is looking for the ball because nobody else is providing, I, of course you'd be frustrated. And especially just think about this, what you guys are mentioning. If he leaves again, look at all of the chaos that's coming to Diggs. If him leaving Minnesota after the miracle of the air, going to Buffalo, causing a stir up there, making that offense look good and just can't get the deal done, where is he going to go? He's going to want to go to Dallas to play with his brother? Is he going to go back home in Maryland, play with Baltimore or the Commanders? Like, it'll be interesting if he wanted to leave. So I feel like he's got to try to figure this out somehow with Allen and try to get another big-name piece outside of Davis. That's why I'm like, Davis, Diggs, and Hopkins would be crazy if they could get that in a fourth receiver underneath, seeing a lot of one-on-one that can make damage happen. That'd be another threat. But, I mean, this is to be continued, at least for me.
And keep in mind, I feel like they need a slot guy, though, right, TP? Like, they got two big guys on the outside, and they got a tight end that works the middle of the field. They just drafted the kid, right, the tight end. I forget his name. Not Musgrave. Musgrave went to the Packers.
The kid from Notre Dame, right? Was that the one they drafted?
Yeah, I think it's – yeah, the kid from Notre Dame, Mayer. So,
yeah, so you got him.
Mayer went to the Raiders. Mayer went to the Raiders.
No, it was the other guy.
Okay. All right, we'll figure that. I'm sorry. I apologize. It's been a while. But they got two tight ends, Knox and the rookie, that can play the middle. I feel like they need a slot guy, right, TP? They need a slot guy, an inside guy that can work the one-on-ones against a linebacker or safety.
They've had slot guys. Beasley was a good one-on-one monster, just that when Beasley came, he was fighting with the COVID situation, saying that he wasn't going to take the shot. Then they got rid of him.
Right.
They brought McKenzie, and McKenzie wasn't really healthy on the roster, and then they brought Beasley back, and then that didn't work out. Now Beasley's so-called retiring. I don't know what they're going to do here, but that's what I'm saying. Their fourth receiver could be big, and if they could move any of them inside there and let DeAndre work his magic on the outside like he normally does, it'd be crazy. But this is just all Buffalo-driven. Like, every other team has these scenarios set up too. But I'm just saying, this, see how stout it could be if he were to go to Buffalo? We're setting more chaos in Buffalo than we could think of in Kansas City.
Right.
I'm sorry, Mike,
but Buffalo has got to figure it out soon. Their window, to me, is closing. And it goes fast. And
they need a
run
game. I could care less about the slot. They need a run game. They can't get a running back to save their lives. They keep bringing running backs in there, and it just don't work. Name after name, and it's like they're nameless. Like, they're bringing in Dalvin Cook, brother. They had Moss. They had Singletary. None of these running backs are sticking. None of them. They'd rather run the ball with Josh Allen that can mess around and get hurt and mess them up because you keep running him and taking chances with him. And he was injured last year, too, so – and losing games at the goal line because you're trying to run them. Like that, I still remember the Tennessee Titans game 2 years ago. Got knocked down at the goal line, lost the game. I still remember the game last year against Minnesota. He tried to need a ball, fumble, game over. Like, these situations, you got to kind of try to get the ball out of Josh Allen's hands and let somebody else try to win the game, too. This is not a one-man sport. It's 11 or 10 other guys outside of him, too.
Right. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just going to make the same point that you are. I was going to say, though, they got to get, like we said earlier, they got to get the pass rush figured out. This team was not able to put a lot of pressure. And when Von Miller went down late in the season last year into the playoffs, they weren't able to do anything up front. And you're right, Barry. You can hear the sound because that window is closing quickly in Orchard Park. They better get it figured out very soon.
Yeah, I mean, the AFC is only getting better, right? You look at the AFC East. Arguably, every team is a playoff threat. I mean, the Patriots, might be the worst team in that division, and if they get a couple things breaking right, they could be right there in the mix. I mean, every division is tough, right? The Chiefs and the Chargers. The Chargers should be better this year. They had no offensive line, you know. We're talking about Herbert with the bruised ribs, or I think it was broken ribs. Like, he was a shell of himself, and they had injuries on the defense. The Chiefs are the champs. You look at the Jaguars, they're coming, right? They had a really good season, and should be able to build off that. And the North is arguably pretty stacked too. I mean, you're talking about the Steelers that should be getting better, the Browns with a full year of Watson, the Ravens obviously, and the Bengals. Don't forget about the Bengals, right? Like, the Bengals, I think they had a pretty darn good draft too. So Bills, the window's closing, but it'll be fun to see where Hopkins ends up, and you know, we could talk NFL all day and never get tired of it. So we'll see how this unfolds. As, you know, we're under 100 days. I think we're 99 days until the start of the season, till kickoff. So I think next month is when players report and have to go, into camp. So we'll see if Diggs, to TP's point, you know, snaps out of it and like Mike says, you know, come to Jesus moment and figured it out. So we'll see what happens. Call-in number, as always, with the chefs, 929-477-2759. The callers cook out. The
and Barry, is that kind of like 99 problems? You said 99.
And you know what, it ain't one, right? But, yeah, shout out to our sponsors, PHI Apparel. Get to their website, phi.co. Use that promo code CHEF. Get 15% off that order. Use promo code CHEFS. Got to pay the bills. Listen, I wanted to bounce to the NBA. It is NBA, but two stars from UConn. Well, not star. One star, one really good player. Decided to stay in the draft one day. Newton's coming back to UConn, but Siago and Jackson Jr., Andre Jackson, are staying in the draft. Jackson had a pretty good draft combine. He was hitting jump shots. He was hitting threes, which is kind of mind-boggling to me. He still got an ugly shot, but he was hitting them. I think he got some good feedback from the scouts and everything. He's staying in the draft. Siago, everybody knows he's probably a lottery pick. I wasn't surprised that he's staying in the draft. TP, I know you're not a UConn guy like me, but are you surprised that those two guys are staying in the draft?
Who cares? I don't care about UConn. Come on, get out of here with this stuff. Listen, this is crazy stuff about it. He said something about the Sixers. The Sixers just got Nick Nurse. That's big to me. But that's not where you wanted to go. You just said UConn. Listen, this is the crazy part. The Newton kid, I think he did need to stay. I think all of them really needed to stay to try to run that back. As much as Hurley was saying, get to us now, because once I get rolling, y'all ain't going to stop us. And it would have been good to at least have them try to repeat, because the way that team is built, there's a lot of bigs. They got shooters. They can run five at you and replace them right off of the bench. So that's the one thing UConn does have. So, but these guys are getting, you know, calls from scouts or talk by, you know, talking to the league, and they're leaving at the wrong time. I feel like they're going to be a part of a bench. I don't see anybody on UConn's roster that just won the championship being starters as soon as they get in there. Or as soon as they get drafted, they're going to be impact six men of the year type. Like, no, they're going to have to wait their turn. I don't see any of them having that shine like that. But I get it. They're in front of millions of dollars, especially you telling these guys at 21, 22 to go get millions. I don't blame them, but I feel like they got more time before they could come out the oven. Their needle hasn't risen yet, at least for me.
Oh, I agree. I thought we talked about it. We were sitting there watching the game. I felt like Sanogo was going to go, but I felt like if he was smart, he would have stayed. But like you said, money talks, BS walks. So, I mean, Jackson, he definitely should have stayed. When he said he was going to go into the process, I knew he wasn't coming back. I just knew it. Because I just know how it is. But you're absolutely right. None of these kids, Hawkins included, will be a starter in the NBA their first year. And it might be a while. There will be role players. I think role players. Mike, I don't know if you know anything about it, but we'll have to get your feedback. And then I want to talk about Nick Nurse going to the Sixers.
Now, so the only thing that I would say is there's 300-something people that are eligible and registered to go into the draft, and there's only about 60 spots. And so you hope they get drafted and land in a spot that's going to work for them. And more than that, you hope they're a first-round draft pick, because that's really the only round where you really get good guaranteed money. So you hope the wrong people that these kids aren't letting the wrong people get in their ears and cause them to make bad decisions. I do believe their stock would have improved if they'd stayed for another year, but at the same time, if they feel they can get that money, like, that's money that they never had or had a chance to get before. So you can't blame them for making the jump, but I think they would have both been better served to come back.
I feel like it seems the beat kind of thing going on, not Okafor, not a Kemba Walker. You know what I mean? Like, that's – I hate – oh, gosh. Remember the beat? Didn't he go to OKC for a second, TP? Like, didn't you guys draft him? Like, it was just bad.
No, we did not draft him. We didn't draft him. The Grizzlies drafted him first, and then they moved him to the G League, and then we picked him up out of the G League, and that's when they went on the run to the Western Conference Finals, and then the year after that they went to the Finals. But we didn't draft him. We just picked him up because we needed a big. And he sat the bench.
Right.
He didn't even play. Like, these are UConn players. This is what I'm trying to tell you. These are UConn players. But
how the boy is doing?
Jeff Green. Jeff Green. Jeff Green's in the finals. You want to talk about Jeff? Okay, so Jeff Green, he went to Georgetown
for a four-year.
I was out of school. Listen, so this is the thing about the Jeff Green. He's on the Denver Nuggets, and they're in the finals right now. Am I lying? Somebody stop me if I'm lying. If I'm lying, I'll stop talking right now. You can Google all you want. You ask me if Jeff Green playing. Just let me know, and then I'll stop talking.
I didn't ask you if Jeff Green was playing. I just asked
you
how
the
Hoyas.
You said the Hoyas. I'm giving you a Hoyas. That's playing right now. You
yeah,
get
from
a,
like
a 80
years ago.
Wait,
the
give me a Husky
Hoyas
in the finals. Okay, I'm going to let you
finish.
Okay.
Who cares? Who cares if Husky's in the final?
Give me a Husky that's in the finals.
Did you guys even make the tournament? You didn't even make the NIT.
Are you going? Well, we had a New York Knicks mess us up. His name was Patrick Ewing. You know who he is?
Don't do that.
Okay, I can do that. That's why you gassed out that laugh, because you know.
He's a legend.
Sports City, see what I'm saying? See what the Knicks taught him? And look how it backfires. This is when a slingshot don't work. See?
You're just making up a narrative right now. Now you're just changing the goalposts. You're moving the goalposts.
Oh, sure. You said the Hoyas. Wait, stop me if I'm lying. If he said Hoyas,
how
was
the Hoyas doing? Not a player that used to go there.
It was a Hoyas. There's a Hoyas out there fitting his fingers for a ring, about to get
living
one
the
out
patch.
There in Colorado. They about to smoke with him too. All of that out there. Watch, I'm telling you.
Living
you
in the past. Yeah,
I
used to play for Denver, too.
That was then. I'm talking about, listen, if I was down south, that was then. I'm talking about right now.
Yeah, right now, the Hoyas are boo-boo. Right now.
The Hoyas are bringing a championship to the finals. Watch this. Mm-hmm.
Who? What? All right, we're talking about the NBA. I'm talking about, anyway. Nick Nurse. New coach, Philadelphia 76ers. They hired him yesterday, one of the big dominoes to fall after all these coaches got fired. Nick Nurse is they replaced the doctor with the nurse. That's like the funniest line I heard all day. But Doc Rivers is out. Nick Nurse is in. Hopefully he has a better bedside manner with these players. See what I'm doing there? That's funny. I'm here all night. I think you got a stern coach, and you traded a stern coach for an even more stern coach, but we'll see how that works out for them. TP, do you like the hire of Nick Nurse going to Philadelphia and trying to get this Sixers team over the hump? And what do you think that means for Embiid, Harden, and company?
I'm going to be honest. This will make people mad. I don't think Nick Nurse is the coach for the Sixers. No, I don't. He's a good coach for developing young talent and making that thing work out. These guys are getting older, especially Harden. Harden's nearing the end of his career. And every run that he had in Toronto, when he had Gasol there, Mark wasn't that big and impactful being the big where you need to implement this game to be around Embiid. I want to see how he can make this work around Embiid when it was more of a backcourt thing or letting a swingman like, Kawhi – or Norm Powell take off and start hitting shots. You've never really seen a big go crazy for the Raptors on a night-by-night basis. You would see it here and there. If Marc Gasol or maybe a Serge Ibaka could come in with a game, Siakam maybe, but Siakam is more of a swing to me. Like, it was 1, 2, and 3 with Nick Nurse. I want to see if he can make this happen with Maxi, Harden aging, and Embiid, and having to make that work in a Raptors type of way where these guys don't even stay true to defense. And this being the Sixers. The Sixers are more offensively powered than anything. And if their defense isn't clicking now and Nurse can't get them to do it either, this is going to be really tough. I do not like this quick fix. They hurried up and put him there. I feel like Nick Nurse could have served better on a different team. But this is definitely going to be a work in progress. And I don't think that this is a setback to me for the Sixers while I think Harden is approaching year 34. I think it'll be 34 this upcoming season, if not 35. I really want to say 34, but he's getting up there. I don't know how much time you think he has left either. So the sand is running out in that hourglass for these guys. So I don't think Nurse is the coach suited for the Sixers, but they pulled the trigger, so they got to make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely not the coach that I think Harden would have liked, because he don't like coaches that get in his face and hold him accountable. That's why he loved D'Antoni. No D in D'Antoni. But, you know, I like Nurse because Nurse got a lot out of Siakam and made him into an all-star player, and I think he could probably do the same thing for Maxi. I think Maxi has to be that number two guy, to your point, TB, because I just don't see Harden. I think he does it in spurts. He's kind of at that LeBron phase where he can do it in spurts, but he can't do it all the time. So I really agree with you, but I think Nurse is probably a good coach because you can't have a nice guy. This team is too good to have a nice guy. Oh, everything's going to be fine. Like, because how did that work in Boston, which we'll get to in a minute? Like, I just don't see it. You know what I mean? Like, they need somebody that's going to hold them accountable and say, hey, well, we're up 3-2 against a really good Boston team at home. We're going to put them away. We're not going to be nice about it. So, I mean, Mike, what do you think about Nick Nurse, you know, heading to Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love?
Well, I don't think they're going to love him a whole lot in Philadelphia. Listen, he had the one good year when he had Kawhi and he had the church bounce. It got him past the Sixers. But if you look at his record, now I understand maybe not necessarily as much talent on the roster, but take away that one year, and he's a 500 coach in this league. Is that better than the guy that he's replacing? So looking at that, like, I think Maxi does have to emerge as the number two. James Harden will be 35 in August. I think August 26th he'll be 35 years old, if my memory serves. Looking at that, I don't really get it. I feel like, to TP's point, I think he's a better coach for a young developing team. I thought somewhere like Detroit or somewhere might have been a better fit for Nurse. But I had a feeling with him having won an NBA championship, regardless of circumstances of it, I thought that one of these teams that were expected to compete for a championship this year that let go of their coach was probably going to hire him, and it just turned out that it was Philadelphia. But I'm not sure that this is any better a fit than the coach that they just had. I mean, we'll see. I think probably Doc did need to move on, and it was the right move for him to, you know, decide to move on from him, because I do think for whatever reason, his message had gone stale, or he didn't really have the locker room anymore. But at the same time, I'm not sure that Nurse is the right answer. There's nothing super impressive to me that just jumps out to me. Like, if I were a Sixers fan, I would not be overly thrilled by this hire at all.
You want to know where I think Nurse fits? The team that Nurse fits, especially the style that the Raptors have for a team that needs a coach, the Phoenix Suns. Right now,
I thought that would
work. Right now, the way that the guard play works, and KD to play his inside outside game like Siakam did in that postseason run where they won the championship, I think that would work more or less for DeAndre Ayton, too, where you don't have to put that pressure for Ayton to score like that, instead of having a focal point and a big like Embiid and not really seeing him have the big being focal, you know, being the focus of the offense like he did in Toronto. Marc Gasol didn't really have those 25, 30, 35, 40-point nights. I've never seen that with Marc Gasol there. I've seen that with him in Memphis, but not in Toronto. So this would be a work in progress for him to get this done in Philadelphia. I think this is a mistake to me. But things happen, but you got an aging team and a coach that's trying to prove himself. I feel like this could be milk and oil that just won't mix.
It's funny, TB, because I really felt like I agree with you. I think Nurse is a better fit in Phoenix, but I feel like Phoenix didn't really put the full court pressure on to get Nurse, which is kind of odd to me. I feel like they're trying to see if they can shake Ty Lue loose out of L.A. because I don't think Lue is happy in with the Clippers, with that situation with his two stars barely available. Like, so I think they're trying to see if they can get him. And I think Lue is a better coach than Nurse. There's no question about it. But if he's not available, then what are you waiting for? I don't – you know what I mean? I don't know. So I agree. I think Nurse would have been a good fit in Phoenix. But I think Nurse can make it work in Philly. I feel like –
I disagree.
I just feel like he does have a chip, right? He knows what it takes to get there,
Nick Nurse and Ty Lue both have a championship. I feel Nick Nurse worked more for his championship than Ty Lue did. Lineup with Kyrie. He had Kyrie, LeBron, and the Pips. This dude had Kawhi and Canada. Like that was it. Like, I give Nick Nurse credit for doing that compared to what Ty Lue had to deal with at least 8 stars running with LeBron in Cleveland. At least.
Yeah, and Nurse got a little
Kevin
bit of
Love, J.R. Smith,
stimulus,
a role player.
Stimulus package.
Huh?
But we're saying again, TP?
J.R. Smith, Kevin Love, and these are role players. These are the role players compared to Kyle Lowry, who else is on this time? Fred VanVleet. Like, he's getting these players that he's getting optimal out of these guys. Like, I don't know. To me, I feel like Ty Lue had a magic carpet ride, Aladdin and Princess Jasmine. I feel that's what happened.
But I think Ty Lue is a damn good coach, and I think he doesn't get enough credit. You look at what he did, not this season, last year with his players not healthy. He took that team pretty darn far. Like, he's a damn good coach. I think he –
Where did they
I
go
think
last
people,
year?
What's that?
Where did they go last year?
Didn't they go – was it last year or the year before that? Didn't they go to the Western Conference Finals?
Hell no. What's wrong with you? Listen,
was
Raptors,
it,
they
was
got
it,
beat
it,
by Luka. Luka and them punched him in the face last year. Don't forget
that.
The year before that.
Didn't Paul George got hurt, right, in the playoffs?
Yeah, the year before that, they lost to Phoenix. They lost to Phoenix before that.
Western Conference Finals. Like, that year. That year, 2 years ago, not last year, I apologize. But that was a heck of a run with a half healthy team. Obviously, no Kawhi, because no Kawhi. It's the day is long, no Kawhi. But listen, I hope it works out for Philly. You know, that fan base is starving. And I feel like if it doesn't work out, they have a lot of questions that need to be answered with that roster. Daryl Morey. I don't know if Harden comes back. To be honest with you, do you think Harden comes back?
I mean, his money's there for now. His money's there for now. I think so. Regarding on, you know, how much of a stick he can make happen because he's later in his career right now, and a lot of people don't know how much he has left in the tank. But people, he just said he hopes Philly gets it done. People, he just this New York riddled mother sucker sat up here and said he hopes Philly gets it done. Wow. I'm startled, everybody. I don't know what's happening. Shy, if you hear me, stop putting stuff in that boy's food, please. He's up here eating his stuff. Please, don't do it no more. Get that boy some water, please. I don't know what's happening. Stop it.
I can't be hopeful. Like, I don't care if they win. Not everybody holds hate in their heart like you, okay?
You
not,
do.
I mean,
wait. Oh, okay.
This just don't bother me. That listen, if we're talking about the Eagles, the Eagles can go to the Eagles can go to hell two times with I don't care. Yeah, exactly. If we're talking about the Eagles, the Sixers, I can care less about the Sixers. I don't care about the Sixers. The Eagles, kick rock.
This is the villain that I know. And I quote, he says, I am the hater. This is him. And then he had the nerve to talk in his class, the audacity of this male. I don't know what to tell you people, but he is smiling right now with the Grinch First Grade Picture Day picture. I'm telling you, that's what he's got to smile about right now. I can't believe. Wow, people. Wow is all I have to say. Wow.
Wowzers. Listen, it doesn't matter to me if Philly gets it done or not. If it's the Eagles, who cares? Screw them. Listen, Mike, does Harden come back?
As CP said, the money's there. I feel like maybe, you know, I keep hearing people say he wants to go back to Houston. I think that would be terrible for the franchise. If he doesn't go back there, I'm not sure how many teams really would kick up a big fuss to get him on their roster at this point in his career. I think with the guys on this team, this is probably the best fit for him. I feel like when his shot's falling, he's still really dangerous, but at times he's still a good passer and can do some things with the ball in his hand. And I think if they have the right system in place, even when his shot's not falling, he can help Embiid and Maxey maximize their talents and be good for this team. But I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm sure that he wants to, but I just don't know how many options he has.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see him. I don't know. I don't see him wanting to come back to Philly to play for Nurse. I just don't see it happening. But, he didn't have the say in the coach that came in my opinion. I think that was I think that had to be more Embiid than him, but we'll see how it works out. He doesn't have a lot of options to TP's point. I mean, he's getting older. I mean, not a lot of options for this guy, so but yeah.
If he wants to be a role player, if he wants to go somewhere and be a role player, then that's the only way. But I don't see Harden being a role guy. He's still a focal point on an offense, but he doesn't have that scoring output like he used to when he was in Houston. That's why I feel like he's trying to get to Houston, like you mentioned, but I don't even think that's a good move with all the guard talent they have there. Houston won't be it. He's going to have to find a team like L.A. or something, and I really think like the Lakers or something to be a piece of that with LeBron.
Oh, no.
AD.
Minimal money, because he's going to be like a Melo. He's going to be a wandering man until he retires then at that point, because there's no way he's getting – $40-50 million a year.
I think he was.
No, he's not requiring that much. He's not worth that anymore. He's older. He's not going to get that anymore. Not at 34.
But he's greedy. He wants his money. He took a pay cut this year. He wants his money.
But people in hell want water too.
you better go play in Greece, dog. You better go play in Greece or Spain or something.
Was G Elite? Was it Ignite? Go to the Ignite G League. I don't know, man.
What
did
Tommy say last year? The Rancho Cucamonga Cockroaches? Good place for them.
Yeah. That's basically it. Because he took 30-something million this year. That was a pay cut to make it work to get those pieces around in Philly, and they still didn't get it done. So he's going to be like, well, I did my part last year. I want my money this year, and I don't know who's going to pay him. So.
In the words of Snoop Dogg, and it got to be bumping, hell yeah, in the city of Compton. That's where he's from. That's where he's from. Walking right back to Los Angeles.
Well,
we're not taking him
to
Lakerville. It ain't happening.
Yes, you are. I'm speaking it into existence.
Yeah, me too. Yep.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me like, listen, why you? Listen, I come on the show with you guys. I support. I'm active. Why you gotta cuss me out like that? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, listen, that's the missing piece for you. You can get rid of D'Angelo Russell. You get rid of that guy. You bring back Arson Reed. You bring back Rue. You got
Rue.
Those two guys, those pieces, and then you bring in another scorer in Harden. Let Harden cook in L.A.
home. Tell the world that he's
coming home. I'm coming home.
Mm-hmm. Better be going back. Listen, he got a house in Houston.
He got a house in Houston. Go stunt the growth of those guys there. Go stunt the growth of Jabari Smith and Jalen Green and mess them up. Don't come to my friend.
You
were being nice about it, but I'm going back to Philly, and now he's like, "Go mess them kids up in Houston. Don't come with my team."
No, we're breaking out. We're not breaking out the LL Cool J going back to Cali song for James Harden.
You didn't say that to LeBron mess up the Lakers. You didn't say that to LeBron when LeBron mess up the Lakers. You let him do that. Why can't Harden?
I didn't want him either, but I had once they signed him, I didn't have a choice, did I? Like, listen,
so you
I
want
to play
with the beard. Let the beard
everybody
come back.
Everybody wanted the king.
Yep.
Everybody wanted the king.
Now you got the beard.
What did he say? I'm supposed to be a number one on everybody's list? We'll see what happens when I walk.
Yeah, what more can I say?
Yeah, that's what he
like
said. That's
Schindler's
what he posted on his Instagram. That's what he posted on his Instagram. I'm supposed to be number one on everybody's list. You supposed to be? Really? Really?
Wait, LeBron said that?
Yeah. He posted a picture of him from a picture when he was in high school, and he quoted the Jay-Z line, the last two bars, and what more can I say? I'm supposed to be number one on everybody's list. I'm like, really? You ain't seen The Last Dance?
No,
Jordan ain't get swept in a four-game series.
And then you hear the devil is laughing, people. You hear it. He said he's not a – I'm the
hater. Anderson, made it further than your Knicks. Made it further than your Knicks.
What's that?
Ooh.
Wait,
ooh.
What? What did he say?
Made it further than your Knicks with a lower seed.
No.
Who? The King?
Yeah.
The Lakers made it further than your Knicks with a lower seed.
Burn it at the side of the dome. Come out of my throne. Jamal and Joker said, get out of my throne. I got this block since night. But I am the truest. Name a big that I ain't influenced.
Still came a lot closer than your Knicks.
That's fine. Hey. I have nothing but contempt and hate for LeBron. That's fine. But you didn't want him. You didn't want him. We made it better from farther than your Knicks. Come on now. You didn't even want him. You didn't want him. You didn't want the king. Is this your king? Is this your king? I love
listen,
it.
Swiss City,
he told y'all he wasn't a hater, Swiss City. I'm just letting y'all know that he just said that.
Come on.
I've been
doing this with you for 10 years. Everybody knows the villain's a hater, and the villain hates LeBron James.
Wait, no, but you you tried to push that agenda on me. That's the bad part. Swiss City, you understand what I'm going through nowadays. This is what I'm talking about. This type of stuff right here, that devilish laugh, that devilish grin, and he tried to tell you that I'm the hater, and you hear him saying that as I told you a little while ago. He said he's the hater. And he said everybody said he's the hater. Swiss City, I'm not lying to y'all. I swear, I know lying.
Don't get
upset. He a mentiroso.
Don't get upset.
He mentiroso. He a mentiroso. No bueno. Mm-hmm. No.
You gotta somehow wipe Magic, Kobe, and Kareem from existence to be considered the king in Lakerland.
That's a fact.
All right. Let me ask you a question, Mike, and then I want to talk about the Celtics, and I want to get to the finals. Is he an all-time great Laker? Would you retire his number?
At this point, I probably would not. I think he has been good for this team. I think that some of the player-driven moves messed up that roster for a while. They won one championship, one other trip to the Western Conference Finals, but it missed the playoffs twice in his 5 years there. So would I retire his number? Probably not, even though he set the scoring record there. Now, I understand that's an unpopular decision. There are a lot of Lakers fans and a lot of people that would disagree with me, but I would not. Now, I will say with this caveat, because once he's there, I mean, there's nothing I can do about it. He's going to be on the roster, at least for right now. Of course, all the talk at the end of the season, act like he might want to take a year off. We'll see what happens. If his story is complete in L.A., then I would not retire his number.
comes back, and or it, you know, if somehow they find a way before he's done to win another ring or something, then ask me at that point. But right now, no, I would not.
I definitely would not retire his number. I don't, dude. He's a great player in a Laker jersey. That's it. That's like Jordan getting number 23 retired with the Wizards. Like, give me a break, dude. Like, even though Jordan didn't win a chip and LeBron did win a chip, he's not an all-time great Laker. I can name at least five Lakers better than LeBron. As a Laker, not a great player, like, better than LeBron. There's greater Lakers than LeBron.
Yeah, you got the three I just named plus Shaq, and you still haven't even talked about Jerry West. You haven't talked about
Jerry West.
I mean, I could argue James Worthy was a better Laker.
Yeah, James Worthy, Magic, Worthy, Kareem, Shaq, Kobe, West, Chamberlain's probably better, Elgin Baylor. Those guys are better Lakers than LeBron James. It's not saying that players than LeBron James. They're not. They're probably not. But as a Laker, the greatest Laker is Magic Johnson, then it's Kobe. LeBron's not on that list as a Laker. You take his, four or five years, as a Laker, it doesn't compare to anybody else. I'm sorry. It doesn't. He made all NBA team. Great. Terrific. No MVPs. I'm sorry. Timeless, I don't know if you wanted to chime in, but that's just – these are LeBron stands that want him on the pedestal of everything. And if he's not there, we're haters. And I'm proud to be a hater. I don't care.
Sportsity, I told you guys 25 minutes ago. I told you 25 minutes ago what this guy said. He said, no, I'm not a hater. Now he is convincingly saying this to you guys. I just want you guys to know that. I just want y'all to know that. The crazy part is I don't think he should, but it will, because all three of the scoring records have been broken by Lakers. It was Wilt, Kareem, it's LeBron. So you have at least three of these guys that wore that purple and gold that broke the record. They're going to do that just because of that. I don't think that in the time that LeBron was there that he did anything significant other than this. Even nowadays, more and more as time goes by, people are giving more of the fuming situation that they are not counting that bubble situation, because look at how the Lakers look now. Without the concentration of everybody focusing on the world burning, the Lakers have not been successful since that season. And let alone outside of that, they've lost more than, I want to say, at least, I want to be fair with a number, at least a good solid 17 to 20 players in the time that he's been there, because he's trying to set this up the way that he wants it. The Lakers are in turmoil since he's been there. Of course, he has a scoring record, and I think he's more or less just sitting up here padding stats. That's why he's been giving you those clamoring situations about quote-unquote thoughts of retirement, because he knows there's nothing left in L.A. with everything that he's done there now. All this is how many points he can put on the board and how he could end up playing with Bronny. I don't respect what he did to end his career right now. Even though he is legendary, great, awesome, one of the top 10 in the league to me. But I don't think he should be there, but I definitely think he will get a jersey retired there, definitely, for sure.
I agree. I feel like he will get it retired because the league is stupid. They love LeBron. Everything he does, he sneezes. LeBron sneezed today in news. Back to our regular schedule program. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets his number retired. Why not? They do everything else. Call number 929-477-2759. TP, I'm going to come right back to you. The Celtics made it. They made it a comeback, like LL. Don't call it a comeback because they didn't finish the job. They made it to Game 7 after being down 3-0, through however you want to look at it, but couldn't steal the deal at home. Terrible record at home in the playoffs. I think they lost three games to the Heat at home. They're home, and they got a lot of questions more than they have answers. TP, who do you think is the most to blame for this Celtics debacle, and what are they going to do with Jaylen Brown?
Sports City, please excuse me. I'm going to apologize here before I get into this spiel. The person – or let me do it like if you were looking at a multiple choice, right? The person with the bracket and the S, right? The persons, let me the front office, That's right. The Boston Celtics front office lost the situation. This all spills back into the offseason of 2022 coming into this season, in which one of those execs' wives messed with Ime Udoka, and then it's turmoil. The guy loses his job because of this bullcrap that you guys having off-the-court situations, an affair that has nothing to do with basketball. You get rid of your coach that just got you to the finals after a year. The crazy part about it is that team has chemistry, so they knew how to get it to work somehow, some way throughout the season. Good thing that Mazzulla was an okay coach, but couldn't handle the pressure when the heat started hitting him. Pun intended, too. That's the crazy part. Now, player-wise, this is where it's going to get hairy. I love Jaylen Brown as a player, too, and I feel like he's more the consistent player of the Celtics. I think that he fell asleep in this series against the Heat. He did. But more or less, where is the consistency out of Jason Tatum? Everybody dreams Tatum this, Tatum that. Tatum has games where he could give you that 51-point game like he did against Philly and then go into the fourth quarter and have 3 points because he's launching threes. You're helping other teams. Both of them together are tied together. I don't want to see them split up. I want to see them attack this same situation. Boston could be broke trying to pay both of them, which they should. They both deserve it. You have people come out there saying that this is the ceiling. This is it. Break it up. Blow it up. I don't want to listen to them. They say, y'all guys know what happened in-house. Y'all make it happen. And the one person I think that they're going to have to try to hang on to is Al Horford, but he's older now. Al Horford is one of their instrumental pieces. But once he leaves, it's like, then what? What do they do with the big situation? But, again, I think the two hostiles of the situation, Jaylen and Jason, both are to blame as the players on the court. You have Marcus Smart starting to step his game up. Malcolm Brogdon started to fall asleep a little bit. Again, Mazzulla was actually taking Rob Williams off the floor a lot. And then in games where he was leaving them on the floor, this guy was big, actually getting rebounds and blocks. You got to keep these guys on the floor. And I think they just overlooked them and try to use them too little too late when the Heat were already out and running. And for them to face a 3-0 deficit, nobody wanted to protect home until they got down to game four and just wanted to fight for their lives. And I give Boston credit for fighting that much, but this is a total team effort, and it starts from the top. The front office first, then the big dogs being Jaylen and Jason, and then everybody else after that. I feel that's how the blame goes. I really felt like Jaylen was the more consistent one throughout the past 2-3 years. He fell asleep when they needed him right now. And Tatum, I'm sorry, as much as attention they give you and so on and so forth, Derek White had to save your tail game six. There's games where you are sitting up here with 10 to 12 points and you got to go on a barrage of three-point shooting in the fourth quarter to try to make it happen. I'm tired of that. For you to be a 6'9 player and having a lot of mismatches that are going your way and you settle for a step-back jump shot and could potentially miss more than you're making, I'm not buying that. You should have a chip on your shoulder. If not, I'm putting it there until you prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Period.
Yeah, well, so much to unpack there, TP. Mike, I mean, who do you think is the most to blame? And do the Celtics work to keep this duo together?
I agree with TP, and I look at the front office and guys on the court. I think there's enough blame to go around. In this, this team has had a lot of success, but hasn't quite reached the pinnacle. Do I think that the guy, their head coach, can coach? Yes. Do I think he was that some of the moments were a little bit too big for him in the playoffs? Definitely. I think if you had your regular coach, it probably would have been fine. I think that their current coach will probably learn from this and be better in the future. But to answer your question, like, you know, these are two wings. I think you can keep both of them. To me, what you have to figure out is what you're going to do about size inside. And I think they need a legit, like, floor general playmaker to help these guys out. At times, too many turnovers because these guys have the ball in their hands too much, you know, trying to do a little bit of everything and play hero ball sometimes. I think a legit point guard that's a facilitator first, that can play some defense, along with some help as far as size goes. Because Horford's old, and even now, when you look at Horford, he's also turning into, you know, he's shooting the ball from outside like every other, like, new age big man wants to try to do. And so you need somebody that can do some damage around the rim for this team and a playmaker at the point guard position. But unless you get an offer that really blows you away, in my opinion, I would stay with Tatum and Brown, because I think that's a, even though they're both wings, I do think it's a solid foundation to continue to build off of. And it seems like they've been in the league for a long time, but neither one of these guys are that old. But I also think that having the right chemistry in that locker room to help bring the best out of these guys, Jason Tatum needs a little bit more dog in him, a little bit more fire. And I don't know if you can, you can't always teach that. So, but I, to me, I still think it's hard for me to think about Boston and come up with what I think would be the best options for them, because kind of like you and the Eagles, I'm, you know, they could go two times, like you said. But I keep Tatum and Brown. I figure out something inside. And a legit playmaker. Marcus Smart's a good defender. Does a lot for this team. Brogdon kind of fell asleep. Was not, you know, everything they hoped he would be. But I think you need a legit playmaker to put the, to get the ball to these guys in more favorable positions. And they need a steadier hand. When Boston's shooting well and taking care of the basketball and they're moving without the ball and the ball's moving well, they are one of the hardest teams to handle in the league. But when they get stagnant and do a lot of ISO and you got Tatum and or Brown trying to play hero ball and you got, you know, your big man stepping out taking shots that aren't falling, then they become a much easier matchup. I think you got to highlight what really works, and you got to bring in a couple of guys to really find a way to help accentuate that for you.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that are going wrong with Boston. Brogdon was brought in to be that facilitator, that playmaker, but he was hurt. In these playoffs, especially in this last series. Robert Williams, he's the guy that they've been clamoring for to be that space eater to protect around the rim, to be the pick-and-roll guy and the defender. He was sick. Game 7 only played, 13 minutes or so? Tatum, first play of the game, gets hurt, right? I think if he doesn't get hurt, it's a different kind of atmosphere and a different outcome for the Celtics. But, you know, that kind of put the pressure on Jaylen Brown to be that number one, and he didn't live up to it. He's a really good two. I don't know if he's the number one on a team, right? I think you have to keep those two together, because even though it's going to be expensive, it's going to cost you $500 million. And with the new CBA coming into play, it's going to be hard to build a team around those two. When you're paying him $295 million and then Tatum $315 million, it's going to be a lot of money to tie up with those two guys, right? But you're not going to find two guys like that. You're not going to be able to put two guys together like that on a team with the new CBA rules. So I agree. I was talking to my brother, TP Knows, and one of the guys that sings our intro song, Taj Dane. He has a single out too. Get out there and listen to that. But he was like, Marcus Smart is a good player. He's a good point guard. He's a defender, but he's not the point guard they need. They need a facilitator, a guy that can get them into the offense, because to Mike's point, there is too much hero ball. There is too much of those guys dribbling, trying to create for themselves and don't create for others, right? So it's hard to put those two together, Tatum and Brown, where you don't have a guy that can get easier shots for them. I would think on paper, Brown for Lillard makes total sense, but will they do that? I don't know, especially with this the Trailblazers having the number three pick now. I don't know if they make that deal. I don't know if it's something they would consider. I think you got to get a point guard that can run the offense and get easier shots for them. But I agree with Ty. TP, there's a lot of problems with this front office, how they handled the Udoka situation, how they just handed the reins to Mazzola and took the interim tag off him just to prove that they were right about Ume to begin with. You know, I don't absolve him. I think how they handled the whole situation is a joke. And TP said it right last week. You know, this is their comeuppance. But you look at Mazzola, he got thoroughly outcoached by Spoelstra, which I'm not surprised at. But it got to the point where I'm hearing that when they were calling timeouts in Game 7, TP, it was Horford that was running the timeout, telling guys what to do, being the head coach. And then Mazzola, like the last, you know, 20 seconds or so, would come in with his assistant coaches, his pretty much yes men, who nobody's heard of, and try to give some instruction. Like, he couldn't adjust. He couldn't handle the moment. And then you just gave this guy free rate. You know, he's the head coach. Now, do I think he can be a coach in this league? Absolutely. But I think he's got a long way to go. And I don't know if listen, Ume was the guy that got their heads out of their you-know-what and got them to play defense. And Mazzola was the guy that figured it out on offense for this team last year to help Brown and Tatum kind of play together. But it was the defense that propelled them last year. And, you know, if it wasn't for a couple breaks, they might have won the chip last year. And then this year the defense totally failed. So there's a lot of problems in Boston. I said last year when Mike and I had a show that I'd break these two up. I feel like you got to keep them together, but you got to find better pieces around them. And I have to say it. I've heard it said around too, and I'd love to get your opinion quickly on it, but this team is mentally soft. I said they were a stupid team last week. They're a soft team. They're mentally soft. When things are going great, they can beat anybody. They're the best team in the world. When they get punched in the mouth, they cower. They remind me of those old Bulls teams. When the Pistons used to punch them in the mouth and they cry and whine and complain, and they were just mentally weak. This team is a mentally weak team, and that's from 1 to 12. They need to get some toughness. They need to get more guys like Al Horford, who called them out before the Eastern Conference Finals started and really said, you know, we're not taking this seriously. He saw it then. This is a mentally soft team. They need to get it together. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
I mean, they have experience, so I agree somewhat, but I mean, they went through so much turmoil in a matter of 365 days. It's like mystifying. Like, they didn't expect to be at the top of the Eastern Conference again and be in the Eastern Conference Finals again. So I get it. The one thing is that they coddled their star too much. They coddled Tatum way too much. And for what they expect out of him, I'm not buying it. I could care less. How many times have you seen that shot clock get for 7? And he's still dribbling 5, and he goes to his legs and they're in his face, and he just throws it to Jaylen Brown, and Jaylen Brown has to throw up an erratic 3 that he can end up hitting because how dynamic he is. Like, and Tatum will continue to do that and to put their team in a formidable situation because it's not likely that you're going to keep hitting shots like that. And this is one thing about the Celtics. I don't even know if this is, like, tough or soft or whatever. They all, and I mean they all, settle for 3s. If you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. And they sat up there and lived by the 3, and they sure enough in Game 7 died by the 3, getting pummeled in the middle of the Garden. There was a statement made by Draymond Green. He said, through all of the racism and the tough stuff that you guys go through in Boston and give people hell, he said, I was happy as hell to see y'all lose, just to the fans, not even just the team, more or less coming at the culture of Boston. So this is what y'all get. You make your bed, you got to sleep in it.
Mike, real quick, what do you think?
Yeah, that's why I said I think a playmaker, I think somebody to help bring out some dog in these guys. Like, I agree with you. I really felt like this team was soft. I think they needed somebody to really, like, you know, all you need to know about Tatum was that he went a fourth quarter in a playoff game and didn't take a shot. And you know, I said this, is I don't want to roll over in his grave at the thought of that. Could you imagine a playoff game where a guy, Kobe Bryant, who's one of the, you know, love him or hate him, one of the best competitors in this league. Could you imagine him going an entire fourth quarter without taking a shot in the basketball game? Never would have happened. Maybe a first quarter because he was mad at Phil and Shaq and trying to prove a point or something, but never in a fourth quarter. That's crazy to me. And so, yeah, I think, even sometimes a player in their own corner that says, you know what, shut up and play. Like, let your play do the talking. You're not happy about something, then punch back. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's what this team needs. I do think that one of the, to TP's point, they have gone through a lot, but some more resiliency and some mental toughness is what this team is lacking. But I'm going to quote real quick. I know you said be quick about this. I'm going to change the subject to the last sentence from singular to plural. But to quote Slick Rick and then once again Snoop Dogg, one day I can say as a Lakers fan about the Celtics at the end of the season, if I can't have none, they can't either.
Boston's got a lot of things to figure out, and the first thing is going to be that extension because Jaylen Brown's got 1 year left on his current deal, and he's eligible for that super max. I mean, two super maxes on one team is a lot. I don't know how you let them go. I don't know how you do it, man. It's going to be really hard to build a team around them, and I hope they got picks. That's all I can say. I hope they got picks around them. Let's talk about the finals, brothers. Let's talk about the Nuggets and the Heat. So game one tomorrow, 9:00. Too late for me to stay up. I'll probably watch the first half and go to sleep because it's not my Knicks. I'll be totally honest with you, but maybe I'll stay up. I'll try. Jokic and Butler. Somebody's going to get their first chip. I think the odds are that the Nuggets are favored in this series. Doesn't really bode well for the team that comes off a sweep and then a team that, you know, goes through a seven-game series. The Nuggets haven't played in 9 days. So, TP, who gets the chip, man? Who gets their first chip, and what will it do for their legacy?
I feel so like backed up against the wall with this question, because one, you see one proving the world wrong, and then the other you see a wild career come to an end. And that's Udonis Haslam. He is not playing, but he's been riding that sideline for however long he's been wanting to make it happen. And finally, they are back at the finals. He's been a part of all three of the championships the Heat have. And they are back in the finals. And him and Jimmy Butler went at it last year. I remember last year they were about to fight each other, like real bad. And it's happening. And I really feel like they're dedicating a lot of this to him. Even though Jimmy's his own man in his own right and is the face of this organization, him and Spo, I don't even know who I give more credit to. Eric Spoelstra is the best coach in the NBA right now. I don't care who you want to line up Eric Spoelstra with. What he has right now, especially with Harrell not even playing, Tyler Harrell should be on the floor with his broken hand. He can't play, and they're in the finals without him? Ridiculous. Now, to prove the world wrong, Jokic, I'd say it on behalf of myself. I apologize, because you're making the game look so easy that bigs are probably looking at you like you giving us life. Like, you're the speaker box for big men. Like, big men can shoot the ball. They can dribble. They can go down there and cause havoc. They can do whatever they want. As long as the coach believes in you to guard them play, Jokic, you are the example of every big man's dream, and you're making it happen, let alone you putting up triple doubles. And on behalf of myself, I was one of the people that was, like, arguing that you shouldn't have been MVP. For me to see it on a game-by-game basis now, like, playoff series after playoff series, who did it better? Giannis got bumped even though he was injured. Embiid, yeah, right, stay in shape. Jokic got in shape. Jokic was out of shape. Like, they couldn't really give him the leg that he wanted to. Jokic got in shape but took this thing serious. Everybody's scared of Nikola Jokic now. He is dedicated to his team, and that's the one thing that I love about him is that he's totally, and I mean totally selfless. He gives credit to the team or to himself. MVP said, give this to them. It ain't me. Like, I'm like, who don't like this dude? Like, this dude is so likable. Big teddy bear, but when he's out there on the floor, he's an animal monster. Every other reckless name you could put next to him, he's him. And for him to get rid of Anthony Davis and LeBron like that, and also have Jamal, just ease your way back into this thing, and Jamal like, man, I'm here too. Like, I'm going to put up 37 while you go crazy with this 30-point triple-double. They're doing this magic together. This is one incredible question. I really do not know how to answer this. Or who brings this back? It favors Denver because they have home court and they're in that altitude in Colorado. But Miami has gone into everybody's place. Everybody they played in the playoffs and have been the underdog in every series and have upset everybody. So I don't know which way to go. I've always loved the underdog story since I was 8 years old, won my first championship. And they said, you guys are the underdog. We won a championship. I always love the story of an underdog. So if the Heat can pull this off, Jimmy Butler, you are etched in stone. They could put you on like a Mount Rushmore or definitely a Miami Mount Rushmore. If Jokic gets this done, you better watch out. Denver could start running for a while if they could keep a lot of this core together. If I had to pick, though, I would say Denver, but I do not want to put anything past what Spo has been X and Owing and what Jimmy's been able to do to anybody that's defending him. So, it's up in the air, but if I had to pick, I'd say Denver.
Yeah, I mean, I like Denver too, but I totally agree with you. Spo is the best coach in the league right now. And not only Hero, but Oladipo, right, with that injury, two guys that they were heavily relying on this team. You know, Kyle Lowry wasn't really doing much during the season, had got demoted to the bench, but he's able to get this. They're a tough team mentally, more tough. Way tougher than the Celtics. They come to play. They don't beat themselves. They're never out of game. They believe in themselves. The coach believes in them. He puts them in the right position, and they just play hard. They're a hard team to beat. Mike, who do you like in this series, man?
So I'm going to save my pick for Roundtable Gumbo tomorrow night, but I will say this.
Okay.
I believe wholeheartedly as well. Spoelstra is the best coach in this league. It's crazy to me that, you know, as of now, he still has yet to get a Coach of the Year award. But I think I also agree with TP's comment about Jokic. Like, how can you not love this guy after watching him play and seeing what he's done? He does get a lot of other people involved. And, you know, people, we were talking about the bubble. Wasn't a fluke that they made the conference finals when they had him and Murray. And same with Miami, and now you're starting to see, you get to see both of them here. I think it's fun because it's, you know, a lot. You could have made a lot of money if when the playoffs started you went in and laid money on the Nuggets and the Heat, you know, playing in the NBA finals. But what I'll say this leading into tomorrow night's show, What I'm really curious to see is how this game starts. You know, I look at game one, and Miami took it to Boston early and really blitzed them even on the road. And when I look at what Denver did to L.A. in that first quarter of game one, it was disgusting. The way they just blitzed them early. So tomorrow night I'm looking to see what kind of start each of these teams get off to. Can Denver really blitz them early on? You think they're going to have even fresher legs? So we'll see. And then I want to see how Miami's guys, especially some of the older guys like Lowry and those guys, you know, hold up in that altitude over the duration of an entire game. And so we'll see tomorrow night. I use it an interesting matchup, right? I really hope that we have some good games. And then we have a lengthy series. But, you know, I don't have a dog in this fight, so to speak. But, you know, we talk about how much we all love the sport of basketball. And so I would encourage people, regardless of who you may want to win or, you know, even if you're disappointed because your team didn't make it, like, enjoy basketball while we got it, boys, because it ain't going to be back again for a few months.
Yeah, I hope we get some good basketball out of this too. I mean, I like the Nuggets in five. To be honest with you, I think Denver is a complete team. They're on a mission. I think this is their time. I think we got to start talking about Jokic. We got to start talking about him and putting respect on this guy's name, two-time MVP. And if, you know, I said it, and we said on the show too, if he, you know, doesn't get it done this year, we need to start holding him accountable as one of the best players in the league. And if he does get that chip, we got to start talking about him in a whole different light. And I think it's really about putting respect in his name. Jamal Murray, you know, heck of a player, not Bubble Murray or what have you. But Jokic, man, it's time. There's no reason why he shouldn't be holding up the trophy this year, the O'Brien trophy. So if he does, we got to have that conversation. Malone's a heck of a coach. I think Spoelstra's a better coach, but Malone, you know, give him credit. He's pushed the right buttons, got this team where they needed to be. It could have easily gone the other way in the Western Conference Finals. I mean, every game was close, but the Nuggets were the better team, and I think the better team won that series. And I really do think the Nuggets are going to pull this one out. Don't count the Heat out, because every series we've done it, and every series they basically gave us the finger, because they just come out and said, "Nah, we're better than that." And you can't count them out. But I think this time they run up against it. But if they don't and they get that chip, man, playoff Jimmy is real. And you know, this will be Spoelstra's best coaching job, even though he has two rings with LeBron. This will be his best coaching job. By far. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But anything to add, boys? And then, you know,
I think without the chip, playoff Jimmy is real, and it's proven to me. And I also think even if they don't win this championship, I think this is the best coaching job Spoelstra has done. You got to look. This is 8 seed. They lost the first playing game to Atlanta. They were 3 minutes away from being eliminated in the second game. They pulled that out, and then, you know, they didn't have any easy gimmies to get through to this point. They knocked off the number one seed, and what was Boston, the two, right? So they beat the one and two seed out of the East to get there. This is as good a coaching job as I've ever seen from Eric Spoelstra, and, you know, Jimmy Buckets is the truth. He could pass any lie detector test any day of the week.
You're not wrong. So, I would agree. I think this is his best coaching job. This Heat had no business being where they are. They did at the beginning of the season because everybody thought that the Heat were a better team. They were at least a 4 or 5 seed, probably a 4 seed. And then they just could not hit shots. They had injuries. They couldn't get it together. And here they are, where they should be, honestly. I mean, I don't know if they should have been in the finals, but they were a good enough team that when they constructed this year, they should have been one of those teams that got to the finals, and here they are. But Bam's got to be Bam. He's got to be huge. He's got to make it hard for Jokic. I don't know if you can, but he's got to be big. He's got to put the pressure on him defensively. He's got to put pressure on the offensive side. He has to play out of his mind for them to have even the slightest chance. He has to put in trouble, or he has to put the pressure on Jokic on the defensive end. He's just got to. It can't be just Jimmy Butler. I thought he didn't have that performance in the Eastern Conference Finals that he's had in against the Knicks or against the Bucks. I think the ankle injury is kind of slowing him down a little bit. But you know, when they need him, he made shots, especially in the fourth quarter. But Bam's got to be huge. Bam's got to get it done. And he can't play one half and then not play the second half. He has to play, you know, four quarters all the way. I mean, TP, I don't know what you think, but, you know, that's the key for Miami.
Yeah, he is the reason Miami would win the finals. Bam is what they need. Bam has to not let his lungs wear out on him, especially being up there in that altitude. I want to think about the bigs that are behind him. What big is behind Bam if Bam gets in foul trouble? they're going to have to bring you Udonis Haslem out there. Like, it's going to be tough for them to keep the floor. Like, I'll puzzle you. Go ahead and think of some bigs that they have. Like, they don't. It's more loaded with the backcourt and swings as best as they can. And they're going to have to outrun Denver as best as they can. But Denver has bodies to throw at these guys. So it's going to be very tough for Bam. If Bam could actually, I don't even want to say contain, but if he could just, not get in foul trouble, not get tired, and keep Jokic to like a like a 22-point triple-double instead of like a 30-point triple-double, then they may have a shot. But Bam is the X factor for the Miami Heat to win this thing, and it's tough that they're putting this type of pressure on him because they didn't want to get any other bigs to help out. But now this is the problem that Pat Riley faces, that you didn't bring any big bodies alongside with Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler can do a lot of heavy lifting, but this is like strongman of the year stuff. So if he's able to get this done, this will be an incredible feat. Bam is the X factor.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Bam's got to do it. They got to hit threes, and Bam's got to be – he's got to play out of his mind for them to have a shot. But Denver, just keep doing what you're doing. Jokic, I used to give him crap, and I said it on another show that, I felt like his triple-doubles are empty calorie stats. Like, but when you watch him play, it's boring to make the right plays. Like, Tim Duncan was boring to watch because he did everything right. He didn't make bad plays. That's kind of like Jokic. It's boring because he makes the right pass. He makes the right reads. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes on the court. And it just looks so easy that it's boring. But he really is a marvel to watch at his size and his skill. It's insane to watch. So I don't know. You're right, TP. I don't know if you're going to stop him. I don't know if you can even slow him down. But you just got to make him work, and you got to put him in foul trouble. You got to put him on his heels somehow. And Bam's got to do that. You don't want Haslem out there because who's the backup? Ziegler is it? The kid, I can't even remember his name.
Cody Zeller from North Carolina.
North Carolina. After him, it's Haslem. Haslem got the money.
Yeah, that's all it took, man.
He's like, you're looking at it, he's like, what? Get in the game? Get in the game for what? I ain't coming for that.
We're laughing and joking about this. What perfect send-off, even if he lost, right? Udonis gets to play in the finals, though. Like, that would be a perfect send-off just to play. And he's a year older than us. So he came in the year 2003. I think that's the year – no, 2002, excuse me. 2002 was the year that he graduated college and came to the league.
Right.
And then you get to leave in 2023 and get to have a final appearance, let him play. You know what I'm saying? Especially because you need him. He's another body that you need. So he's gonna hopefully get some playing time out there. He has to.
I hope so. It doesn't look like he want to play. Just like I'm good being the 12th guy. Don't bother me. I ain't coming to work. I got shot. I ain't coming to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but now this is his send off, and let alone earn this check now to get your fourth ring and half Jordan Wade, Kyle LeBron. Shoot, you got to go out here and do something. Ain't no guarantee Bam could run up in these mountains and Zeller could hang with a big body 7-footer. Like, you gonna have to go out there and bang like you normally do. So.
That's right. Do something. But everybody's brought up that old, when Jokic, snuffed Morris in the back, and then Butler was coming after him. Like, I totally forgot about that. Like, if that's what you need to sell this finals, then we got a problem. Like, just use the stars. Don't use that old. Nobody cares. But I didn't even remember that until somebody brought it up.
Just
like,
picture the aftermath if Miami wins the finals. Just picture that.
That's going to be crazy. That's going to be crazy. Can you imagine? Oh, my God. And can't count them out. Can't count them out, man. Like, you can count them out at your peril. You know what I mean? At your peril. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say. But it's going to be interesting, man. Starts tomorrow. I'm cooked. I'm done. Mike, thank you for coming through. Give us a close. Give us a shout-out. Whatever you want to do, bro. Thanks for popping through.
Cool. ESPN. Just came out Monty Williams and the Detroit Pistons agree on a 6-year, $28.5 million deal for him to become the next head coach in Detroit. So Monty Williams to the Detroit Pistons. We talked about that a couple times. Yeah, I think that's fine. I mean, I think they got a lot of young talent. They're still a little bit of ways away from contending, but I think he, you know, people forget before they got Chris Paul, they played pretty well in the bubble, which is what facilitated that Chris Paul move, and that was a lot of young guys with Monty Williams. So I think that's a decent move for Detroit. I think he's a guy that can help develop some of that talent there. I think it was time for Dwayne Casey to move on and, you know, for him to take a spot in the front office. I think it's probably a good move. But I think Monty Williams is as good a move as what they get. I thought maybe Nurse would go there, but I think this isn't a bad move for the Pistons. But that being said, man, I haven't been to the cookout in a little while. I had some family things and other things going on, man, but it's always fun. Don't forget about our everything that we got going on. Check us out tomorrow night, Roundtable Gumbo. Thomas, you know what it is. You and I are always cooking it up on Sunday mornings at the time of Sunday morning brunch. Much respect to you, man. Without you, I wouldn't be here. Villain, shout out to the other chefs, Sirius and Controversy and all those guys, man. Chandler, hopefully Chandler will be with me tomorrow night co-hosting the Roundtable Gumbo show with me. And then you know, just keep an eye out for other shows that we have going on. Big shout out to PHI Apparel. Use that promo code CHEFS at checkout for 15% off. If you want to get your Philly clothing, maybe the some of those Philly teams will turn around or actually get to the mountaintop instead of just you know, in view of it in the next few years. But I hope not. But anyway, get your Philly clothing and check them out. Thanks for supporting our sponsors, man. Remember, you can listen to us on all your smart devices and everything else. And as we say in Louisiana, bro, laissez-les bon temps rouler. Peace, love, I'm out here.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's a was a 6-year deal, $72 million, could get up to $100 million with incentives. You know, good coach is really good with a rebuild. This is obviously a rebuild in Detroit. They got Cade and company. I like it, man. I think if this is their target, they were looking at him as soon as he got fired, and they got their guy. So I like this move for Detroit, and you know, I think it's going to work out pretty well for them. And hey, listen, Scott Perry not coming back in New York. You know what? His run here settled the Knicks. Didn't do anything bad. I think he had some good drafts, brought some players in here. Not great players like Fournier, but you know, I think he did a good job with his team, and you know, hasn't really messed anything up here, and kind of gave some stability to the Knicks front office. So thank you, Scott Perry, for everything you did. And we're moving forward, but, you know, shout out to PHI Apparel. Get to their website. Use the promo code CHEFS. Get 15% off that order. TP, always a pleasure doing the show with you. Good to hear you. You know what to do. Get us out of here, bro.
So I saved it for last. I didn't want to waste too much time on it. There's good and bad in sports. I'll do the bad first because I like to get the bad out the way and leave on a good note. The bad is a player that I wanted to see come out of college and go to my team, but he's not going to do it. Zach Edey is staying in school and attending another year at Purdue University. I know for sure the Thunder will not get him, so I'm extremely frustrated. But I thought we'd probably have an opportunity at him this year, but I know for sure coming out of college he will be the number one pick, 7'4" monster. 7'4" is the thing now in basketball. The good news is, that's right, Sports City, I told y'all about racism and how I do not like it. I was brought up in a diverse city, grew up around all ethnicities. And Skip Bayless, you get what you ask for. Shannon Sharp is now stepping down and away from Undisputed. Skip is now by himself once again. That happened right before this show started, that Shannon announced that he will no longer be a part of Fox Sports and dealing with Skip at this time, too. So I had to get that out. I feel so much better about this. I want to see how life goes on for Skip. Of course he will. Of course he's a money market for that network, but I want to see how he proceeds and who's the next victim to run alongside Skip Bayless. To be continued. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again, and if they don't know, Now they know.
Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs, Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs, Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs, Sports City, Sports City, Chefs. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, Sports City, Chef, Chef, Sports City, Sports City, Chef, Chef. Yeah. Cabbie. Taj.
Woo! Connecticut.